I am speaking with double bassist Jack Unzicker, who again appears at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck this week. So nice to talk to you again, Jack.
Oh, thank you. It's great to hear from you again as well.
I've been thinking lately about accents and maybe how they translate to music in a way. For example, you grew up in Alaska, in Juneau, and now you're based at the University of Texas at Arlington. And I you know, when you travel to those places, people are going to talk differently. As a musician, you might pick up on that. Do you hear yourself changing accents between regions and places you go?
I can turn on the Southern draw a little bit when it's needed, you know, if I need to go and get my car repaired and stuff like that. It's nice to blend in a little more than with the accent that I have from growing up in Alaska. I don't think that we have much of an accent in Alaska, but I think everyone would say that about how they speak and how everyone around them speaks.
You are in a position to comment on the Michigan accent.
Is it fair to say that I hear some Michigan accent in your voice, even though that you and I grew up very close to each other?
It sure is.
Columbia in Alaska.
It's absolutely fair, yes.
Well, I've been in Texas now 16 years, I think. I thought I would be here for 3 years or so to come to grad school and would end up back in the Pacific Northwest, but we've had a lot of really wonderful opportunities here, and it's just been a wonderful place to develop a career and a family, and to feel very fortunate to have stumbled upon this location, and it's been really great for myself and for my family.
Does your bass change accents when it goes different places?
I like to think that it does with the music that we play. You know, every composer has a different sound, a different style, a different timbre, you know, color of sound that we try to employ, such as the type of vibrato that we use and the types of accents and articulations and the length or shortness of sounds that we use. I do think that we speak with accents. I can tell you that traveling to Italy and hearing being surrounded by that language and then coming back and playing music by Italian composers, that the ornamentation and the accentuation of figures made a whole lot more sense to me, as it has so much in common with the way that the accents work within the language. Does that make sense?
And it brings us very nicely to the program for this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. It's a very diverse program with works by famous composers like Prokofiev and Saint-Saëns. Perhaps we could start at the very beginning. There's a very special story you have to tell us about the Diaries of Adam and Eve.
Yes, my wife and I have been on a project of commissioning new duos for double bass and violin. And last summer, we premiered a new duo by Tom Knifick that we had commissioned. And this summer, we're bringing another brand new piece. This is The Diaries of Adam and Eve. And Michael Dougherty's planning on attending, so hopefully he'll be there to introduce the work and talk a little bit about the process and how it came to be. And it's a phenomenal piece. It's quite a large piece. It's 30 minutes long. It's for double bass and violin, and for two narrators that play the part of Adam and Eve, basically reading their diary entries out loud. So Michael Dougherty came across this short novella by Mark Twain titled The Diaries of Adam and Eve and was inspired to take Mark Twain's sarcastic, as I'm sure you can imagine, sarcastic view in this kind of turning of the events surrounding Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and expanding it and setting the themes to music. So it's seven movements long, each of them basically chronicling the life of Adam and Eve together. So it begins with Eden and then goes on to Eve's lament, Adam's lament, the serpent the Apple, and the last movement is Wondrous Love, which is quite surprising ending to the tale that diverts from the biblical story and follows Mark Twain's explanation of Adam and Eve being expelled from the Garden of Eden. Andrew Lee and Jenny Walvoord are going to be our narrators, which is very exciting. They are the co-artistic directors of the Saugatuck Chamber Music Festival, so it'll be great to hear them speak. They're wonderful speakers in general in introducing the pieces, but this will be great to hear them playing Adam and Eve.
What was it like to work with Michael Dougherty, the composer?
It was a wonderful experience, and it was very different from any other interactions that we've had with composers while we're commissioning new works. I can tell you what I was most surprised with was that when we began working with him, he came and did a residency at UT Arlington to work with all of the large ensembles, and we had a three-day festival of performances of his works. But when we started playing the piece for him, I was expecting it to be, you know, this could be a little louder here, this could be a little shorter, this could be a little longer, but the raw materials of the piece were still in flux, meaning we did a lot of big changes to the notes that were being played, to the form of the piece, and it was very surprising to see that it was still so fluid and that we could still add so much to it. So I've never had that experience with the composer of once he hears it together to make such substantial changes, but they were all for the better, and the piece is really, really, really effective and quite a crowd pleaser, I must say.
Custom tailoring for you and Martha, exactly.
Yes, and Michael Dougherty has a different way of working, of writing instrumental music, which is that he typically does what he calls a workshop, where he will hire grad students, usually from the University of Michigan, and have them come to his studio and try out some of the things that he's been working on and see what works on the instruments, what doesn't, see if they have any suggestions so that he can write music that idiomatically is really fits with the instrument. And that's actually how Martha met Michael Dougherty. She worked on the Ladder to the Moon, one of his violin concertos. She did the workshopping while he was writing that piece. And so because of that early relationship while she was in school, we reached out to him to see if he would be interested in writing a piece for us. And we were very, very lucky that he agreed. So,
what are some of the other pieces that he's written that were inspired by Americana or pop culture?
Oh, well, he has he has that American pop culture element to most of his pieces. I think one of his earliest pieces that really, really caught fire was a piece called Desi, written about Desi Arnaz. I believe that's the name, right? From I Love Lucy. There's the Metropolis Suite that's based on the story of Superman, which has a great, great movement, and they call it the Red Cape Tango, which is just a wonderful piece. There's Dead Elvis for solo bassoon and chamber ensemble. And I have to say that's the first time I've ever had to play bass with a drumstick.
Wow.
Was playing one of the accompanimental bass line parts, kind of boogie-woogie bass line while hitting the bass with a drumstick or hitting the strings with a drumstick. It's a cool sound, very different sound.
So The Diaries of Adam and Eve, with texts by Mark Twain and music by Michael Dougherty, is getting its Michigan premiere this week at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Let's move on to other pieces on the program. After this, I see follows a quintet in G minor by Sergei Prokofiev. What instruments does this include?
Well, this is an unusual instrumentation for a quintet. It's violin, viola, double bass, oboe, and clarinet. It has much in common with Stravinsky's Soldier's Tale, which is also a really unusual instrument combination, and the roots of both pieces are because of traveling kind of troops of musicians, and so small in forces and then unique in instrumentation by the players that were originally performing these pieces. I've been joking around that the quintet doesn't have a cello part, but actually it does have a cello part. It's just that I have to play it as well as the bass part. We get full registers of the double bass throughout, from the highest register all the way down to the lowest notes. There's even a movement that starts with a bass solo with a theme, but it's 3 octaves lower than we typically have themes introduced in chamber music.
Now, before we started rolling here, you said to me that the Septet by Saint-Saëns was actually the newest piece to you. And to me, it's the only one I actually can hear in my head when I set eyes on it. It's a really fun piece. Was it fun to discover?
It was. It has all sorts of interesting elements. The instrumentation being the first to come to mind, with string quartet plus double bass and then plus trumpet and then plus piano. I think it originally started out as a work intended for string quartet plus trumpet. And so I had to write something with trumpet in it just to make reference to the name of the chamber music society that was named the trumpet. So then Saint-Saëns, being a pianist, I'm sure that he heard it with his instruments involved as well, but also ended up expanding it to add the double bass. So it has really interesting elements that sound orchestral at times. Pretty much every time we add the double bass to a chamber music instrumentation, it has more orchestral elements. We just expand the range of the ensemble, but it can sound a little bit like a piano concerto with string and trumpet accompaniment, similar to one of Shostakovich's piano concertos that has that exact instrumentation. But at other times, it sounds like the piano is in accompanimental role. It's a really interesting piece. It's one of the first pieces that we would call a suite in olden style. It has so many neoclassical and neo-baroque elements to it, and really caught on with composers toward the end of the 19th century and end of the 20th century that wanted to look back at earlier forms and earlier compositional styles and add them to music of the 19th and 20th century.
You know, I get a really strong whiff of a theater band. The sound of this piece would work really well as incidental music in the theater.
Yeah, I think so too. The opening especially, it sounds like it has elements of an overture, right? The first movement sounds to me like kind of the call to the theater, or even all the way back to previous centuries with the French overture style, and that the second the king walked into the theater, you would hear the trumpets and the heralding of his arrival, and that was the beginning of the show, right? And the second the king walked in, off we go. Up goes the curtain, basically, right?
The Septet by Saint-Saëns, a quartet by Prokofiev, and a duo for violin and bass with two narrators by Michael Dougherty. Sounds like it's going to be a very entertaining program for tomorrow and Friday. I wish you all the best at the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Thanks, Jack.
Well, thanks. It's always a pleasure, and I hope to be coming back in future summers, and hope to talk to you again for those programs. And as always, it's such a treat to make it to Saugatuck and to play for such an incredible audience and with great musicians. We really look forward to it.